Come on, Overflow Church. Good morning, everybody. Man, y'all too kind. Y'all take a seat. Hey, it is a gift to be here with you this morning. Both Jeremy and I, Jeremy's a part of our Water's Edge worship, and myself, we count it a joy to be able to be here this morning, to be able to open up God's Word, to worship together. I'm also super glad that Elijah and Janie are able to get away just for the week and spend time as a family. I encouraged him as he was calling me a couple days ago, just talking through Sunday. I was like, bro, just so you know, you are going on vacation, but with three little kids, man, it's more of a trip. So you're going to come back, you know? But Pastor Elijah will be back with us next Sunday, and we're going to be kicking off a brand new series here called Shaped in Form, 4-week series. You won't want to miss it. Last week, we heard from Pastor Adam from the local church in Grand Rapids, one of our churches that's a part of our family of churches, Water's Edge. And so, man, we are just thrilled that we get to have this in-between Sunday that I believe God has given me a really clear download to be able to share with all of us here this morning. I love summertime. I absolutely love it. I don't know about you, but summers are the best. I also like the fall because I like deer hunting, but I do love summer. I love fall. I also think winter's pretty cool until probably like March, maybe February. And I think spring is amazing time as well. And what I know about our great season of summer is that in a few weeks, I know parents in the room, maybe you're excited, but maybe you're also like, in a few weeks, school's going to be back. Fall is going to be back in full swings. You heard from all the announcements from Noah that there's a lot of things happening when the fall hits. And I don't know about you, but sometimes in the summers, they can be really fast and they can be very full. And sometimes we let our faith kind of take a back seat. And I don't know, maybe the reason I'm here today on assignment to share God's word with you is to maybe just to encourage all of us, let's not take the next 3 weeks off from the Lord. Let's not take the next fall off from the Lord, because it might take us back three seasons. And so I'm here maybe on assignment today to encourage us that we have to stand firm with God, and we have to walk closely with God, and we've got to make sure that we are aligning our hearts to what God wants us to align ourselves with. I do want to take some time together today to be able to share with you a message that's on my heart, and I'm calling this message specifically Position for Purpose. So Position for Purpose, that's the title of our message today. And I think that as we talk through the message today and we walk through a few passages in scriptures, one is going to be in Luke 21, the other one's going to be in Psalm chapter 19. These passages in scripture are really going to help us look through the lens of what it means to be positioned for purpose. Maybe I'd say it this way, that I want to unpack today during our very short amount of time, what does it mean to build the well spiritually in our lives this season that we can draw from in the next? Let me say that one more time. Today, I want to unpack what does it look like for us personally in the room and watching online to build a well spiritually in our personal lives that we can draw from in this season. What does that look like? And so we'll be looking through different passages of scripture. If you're ADD like me, I encourage you to write down some notes, take some notes today, because I think that some of the things we share today, while they might be very basic and simple, I believe they can really help us on our journey and walk with God. We know as a church family that as we look towards the future, wherever the future might take us, that it's a whole lot brighter when we're doing with God. And so today, as we look through God's word, we want to make sure that we highlight and understand what it means to build a well spiritually that we can draw from in the season, how we can be positioned for purpose in our lives. So if you have your Bibles, whether they are a paper Bible or a glowing Bible, and it's also on the screen behind me, open up your Bible to Luke chapter 21. Luke 21 is where we're going to be this morning. And we'll be reading a few verses together. You know, as you're turning to Luke 21, this is a really special passage. All the Bible is very special. It's God's word. It's given to us. This is a great book that I encourage you to spend time reading. This helps us to navigate on our life's journey. But Luke 21 is a special, special passage. And I say it's special just because it's the final week of Jesus' life. So this passage takes place in the temple just a few days before he's crucified. And he is having his disciples lean in. He says, I want to tell you some really important things. And he's at the temple, which means that as Jesus did it, other people were listening in. So it wasn't just the disciples that were listening in. It was the people around him. And he was very intentional, and he was very specific with his words, like he always did. Very specific, very intentional. And he shares Luke 21 with us today that we can read his words of what he said on what it means to be positioned for purpose. And so Luke chapter 21, we're going to start this morning in verse 29. Verse 29 is where we're going to be this morning. This is what it says starting in verse 29. He told them this parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Let's take a moment and pause. We live in Southwest Michigan, which means we know seasons. We know when the leaves start blooming, it's springtime. We know in just a few weeks, maybe a few months, I don't know, the leaves start falling. And that means that it's going to be turning into fall and then winter. Jesus spoke this way because he wanted his disciples to recognize as he was teaching in the temple and pointing over to the fig tree that time doesn't stop. It just keeps moving. Seasons are going to come, seasons are going to go, and he is helping his disciples to understand that it's important to not let seasons get past without being present. And so Jesus then says in verse 32, truly I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. I wish I could spend 45 minutes just unpacking those two verses. What I want to draw your attention to is what Jesus said. He said, my words will never pass away. That God's word is absolute truth. And so we recognize that Jesus was very clear and specific that one day, in a few days from that moment, he will go through a very difficult punishment and then death, but then he will rise again. And so he's helping his disciples to understand this picture analogy from a fig tree that's starting to bloom to then the fact that he will be with them forever. It's confirmation to us this morning, church family, that God is with us forever. He's always with us. But look what he says in verse 34. He says, be careful. Say, be careful. Be careful. Or your hearts will be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. And that day will come on you suddenly like a trap. Verse 34, for it will come on all those who live on the face of the whole earth. You know, verse 35, it might not sound very comforting, but it's comforting to know that Jesus made it clear that all of us are going to go through hard times. All of us are going to experience the anxieties of life. All of us are going to go through hard moments. All of us are going to experience pain. It's inevitable. We're not immune from it. Jesus just reminds us that it's going to be a little bit tricky on this world. It's going to be hard on this world. But then look at the instruction he gives, very clear and very specific. He says this in verse 36, be always on the watch and pray. Say watch and pray. Watch and pray. Be on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. You know, I almost entitled this message, Living Ready, Lessons from a Fig Tree. Because as Christians in the room, we have to make sure that we are positioned for purpose. And if we're positioned for purpose, that means that we're ready. We're ready. You know, Jesus in this passage really pulls out a few important thoughts that I think will help us today as we unpack what it means to build a well spiritually. He made a really clear fact of saying, hey, seasons are going to come, seasons are going to go. You need to be observant and discerning about the world around you. He also made it pretty clear in this passage that we need to stay grounded in God's word. He said that my word will never leave you. It will never pass away. He also made it really clear to make sure that we are being careful. Being careful means we have to guard our hearts. We have to guard our minds. And then, of course, verse 36, it says, be watchful and pray. We got to be spiritually alert. We have to cultivate a habit of prayer. We have to seek God's guidance. We need to find strength and protection in God. You know, I'm reminded this morning as I was preparing and planning for today's message, I was reminded of 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. This passage of scripture in this verse is a passage that really talks about how Satan wants to distract us any way he possibly can. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 goes something like this, to be alert and sober mind. Be alert and have sober mind because the devil is like a roaring lion, looking for those to devour. And it just hit me this morning as I was praying and planning for today's message that the devil was out to get us, y'all. And I don't want to give the devil too much time in this message because he didn't deserve any of it. But can I just say this one thing? I love what the word says, that the devil is like a roaring lion. The devil is like, there's only one lion, and that's the lion of God. That's king. The devil is like a lion. What does that mean? That means that the devil is the counterfeit of everything that is good. The devil wants to trap us. He wants to make a way so that we are not positioned for purpose. That's why Jesus says, be watchful and pray. Be watchful and pray, because Jesus knew that we were going to go through hard times in our lives and that we needed that strength. And so we need to always watch and be prayerful. So what I want to just take the remainder of our time together today, short amount of time we've got left, is I would love to just be able to take just this passage in Scripture, Luke chapter 21, some of the key truths that we just uncovered, and I want to share four principles with us this morning, four principles that I think are really helpful. There's probably 40, but for the sake of time, four that will help us to dig a well, build a well spiritually that we can draw from in this next season. So I want to share four principles with you, and I encourage you to write some of these down because I think that some of these principles may specifically just be for you. I had a conversation after a second hour, and someone came up and said, that one point you made, that was exactly what I need to hear for today. And as we know, when we open up God's word, it's alive, which means it's going to speak to all of us potentially a little differently. And so we are going to be continuing to use Luke 21, but I also want us to take a few moments and turn, if you can, to Psalm 19. So Psalm 19 is where we're going to spend the most of our time together today as we're together looking at these four principles. But here are the four principles I want to share. And I think these are going to be helpful for us as we navigate through our life's journey. First principle I want to share is this. Don't do it alone. Don't do it alone. Be in healthy community. Don't do it alone. Be in healthy community. You know, Jesus really just encouraged disciples numerous times throughout Scripture to not do it alone, to be in healthy community, whether it was in Matthew 18 or John 13. We are called, no matter what profession we have, no matter what job we might have, whether we're students in the room or adults in the room, we're called, if we're believers, to make disciples. And this means that as we make disciples, disciple is someone who's following closely after God, taking that next step of obedience. And so we are called to help people follow the Lord as we follow the Lord. And so all of us in this room, if we're believers, we're called to make disciples. That means we're called to be in healthy community. And I just want to encourage us today that I've learned in my life, and you've learned as well, that you can go really far all by yourself. Or you can go really fast all by yourself. Sorry. You can go really fast all by yourself. But you can go really far when you have a good community around you. You can go really fast all alone, but you can go really far together. And I don't know about you, but I know that I need healthy community in my life. It's impossible to do life alone. That's one of the reasons why we come here on Sunday mornings, because we know that we have to worship with like-minded believers. That's the reason this morning that maybe you even came in here, and this is your first Sunday, second Sunday, or third Sunday. You're newer to Overflow. It's because you're looking for community. You're looking for community. You're looking for friends. I just want to encourage you that Pastor Elijah and Janie and their entire team, they want you to find community here, healthy community. I know for a fact some of the best ways to find healthy community fast is by serving. And if you're here this morning, you're like, you know what, I think I want to serve. The reason people at Overflow Church serve is because they're looking for purpose and they're looking for community. They're looking for purpose. They want to serve the Lord by ministering to people, welcoming people, encouraging people. But they also want to serve to be able to find a friend, a healthy friend, an encourager, someone that can walk spiritually. You know, first hour, I shared with our church family that I think that we need four types of friends. You might find all four in one, and that might be like a unicorn friend, but I'm saying all of us need four types of friends. If you're a student in the room this morning, just look at me for a moment. If you're a student in the room or young adult, I wish someone would have told me this when I was a student on how to find healthy friends. Adults in the room, I think this is important for us, these four types of friends. Why are they important? Because if we don't have healthy friends, it's going to be hard for us to stay healthy in our walk in this world. And so here's some thoughts. This is just free advice for today. Number one, I think we need someone in our life that is seasoned. Someone that has been like 10 years ahead of us, has already done the school thing, has already, maybe parents in the room, you're looking for this person because they've already had babies and now their babies are like in elementary school. We need to find people that are seasoned that also walk with God. someone that's seasoned that we can come to and say, is this normal? Or, hey, help me navigate through this. Someone that's like 10 years older that can be in your corner, that can champion you and support you and be that person to help you along life's journey. Season is so important. Number two, someone that's the same as you. Like, we all need a friend that we just enjoy spending time with. What are the hobbies you enjoy? What are the things you like to do? What are the things you like to talk about? Find one of those people that's the same as you that also walks closely with God. Someone that loves God, but also loves the fish. Someone that loves God, but also likes to go shopping. Someone that loves God, but also likes to go to the playground. Someone that loves God, but also likes to go to the beach. Someone that loves God, that also enjoys play dates as family members. So who are the people, or who is that person that's the same as you? Same walk of life that loves God. Second person. Third type of person I think we need in our life is someone that's safe. I don't know about you adults in the room. Sometimes we have found out over seasons that we share something personal, and then before you know it, 10 people find out. I would encourage you in this season, find someone that's safe, someone that you can talk to. My hope is that it's your spouse, if you're married in the room. But if it's not your spouse, or you don't have a spouse, find someone that could be a safe person to talk to, someone that you know walks with God, and that you can share something with, and it's gonna be private. It's gonna be private. The fourth type of person, and y'all, this is the most important one. I think this is most critical. I have had all three of these, but I've missed the fourth in some seasons, and it's really not been helpful for me in my walk with God. I think the fourth person that we need in our lives is someone that is sacred. Someone that's sacred. Someone that walks closer to God than you walk with God. Someone that reads their Bible more than you read their Bible. You read the Bible. Someone that prays more than you pray. Someone that has walked with God and walked so closely with God that you know when you talk to this person, they have a direct line to the Lord. It's like, you know, when you talk to them, they say, I'm going to pray for you. They know, you know that they're going to pray for you. They're not just going to pray once. They're going to keep praying. Who are those sacred people in our lives? This church is filled with sacred people. Find that one that you know that you can walk with, that can disciple you, that can be in your corner. If we want to do life in healthy community, we need to define what healthy community is. And I think it's important. I think serving is a great place to find healthy community, but the reality is this, you as adults in the room, students in the room, we gotta make sure that we remind ourselves that we cannot do life alone. We need healthy community. And we know this, y'all, healthy community is linked to finding people who serve and follow God. All right, second principle is this, jump back to joy. Jump back to joy. Be committed to choosing joy. I originally had it say jog back to joy, but I've heard from some runners that there's no such thing as jogging. It's like you either run or you don't. I would say my jog is so slow that I think it has to be jump. It has to be jump. I can't just take a moment and prepare myself for joy. I gotta jump back to joy. I think this is a very important principle for all of us in the room. I think this is a principle that I think is critical as we build a well spiritually in our lives that we need to draw from in this season, a well full of joy. Happy and joy, y'all know this. Happy and joy are not the same. Happy is fleeting. Joy is unshakable. Happy are all great circumstances. We all want to be happy. But we recognize that the joy, in Psalm 51, it tells us that joy comes from our salvation. So if you're a believer in the room, this is something that we need to circle and remind ourselves that we need to be people of joy. Here's a fact. When we get stressed out, we trend negative. When we go through hard times, it makes us take maybe a second look at the joy that's in our lives. Here's the reality, y'all. Hard times are everywhere. Difficult people are everywhere. And difficult times are going to be ahead. We need to be people that are jumping back to joy. We need to be joy-filled people. We can't allow circumstances to zap our joy. You know, in my family, we call it an attitude audit, that as I have little kids, sometimes we just have to sit down and just do an attitude audit. How are we really doing? Why has daddy not looked too happy? Why are the kids not so? We have to just do an attitude audit and remind ourselves, man, you know what? Maybe the situation that we're in right now or things are going on, maybe they're not too happy, but we need to remind ourselves of how much God loves us. And we need to make sure that we are people of joy. It's so important. You know, I don't know about you, and this is not something you raise your hand to. I'll raise my hand. I talk to myself sometimes. And you all talk to yourself. Don't raise your hand. It's embarrassing. I talk to myself sometimes. And sometimes I'm driving in the car and I'm just talking, and my daughter will say, "Daddy, what are you saying?" I'm like, "I'm just talking to myself. I'm not going to tell her I'm writing a sermon or talking to someone on the phone." So I talk to myself. And maybe you talk to yourself as well. You're just driving in the car, maybe singing in the shower or whatever wherever you might talk to yourself. Can I just pause for a moment and say, some of y'all need to talk yourself back to joy. Some of y'all need to talk yourself back to joy. I was with someone last week that was going through a very hard season. He's been going through very hard seasons. And he said, "Pastor, I don't feel like I've got a whole lot of joy." And I said, "But you got some, don't you?" And he said, "Well, yeah, I do." I said, "Well, let's circle that. Where?" And he said, "I've got the joy of my salvation." I said, "Okay, let's talk ourselves back to that joy. That's the joy we got to start." If you're in the room this morning, you've gone through difficult times, difficult seasons, maybe you're in one right now, you need to just remind yourself of the very special fact that if you are a believer in this room, you are saved, that God loves you, he sees you as his child, he's with you, he'll never leave you. We need to jump ourselves back to joy by talking ourselves back to joy. Some of us need to just talk ourselves back to whatever joy-filled moment we can remind ourselves in, because if we don't, we will have a drift towards negativity. We have to remove the drift towards negativity. We can't watch and pray. We can't watch and pray if we're being negative. We can't watch and pray and be positioned for purpose if we don't have the joy of our salvation. Pleasure brings happiness. Joy brings purpose. We need to be people that are of the purpose that we know that will help us. You know, I'll just say it. We prayed about it just a few moments ago during our worship time. It's going to be interesting this fall with elections. It's going to be interesting this fall. It's going to be a season where people are going to be looking at you to see how you act and how you respond. Will you be a person that bashes someone? Are you going to be a person that talks negatively? Or will you be a person that shows joy and kindness? Let's be people that are joy-filled during this really interesting election season. Let's be people that show Christ's love during this very unique season ahead in the fall. I think that we, as the church family, we need to be the people that are positioned for purpose. And we know that God is a God that's in control. And the God that we know, the God that we read about, he loves us so much. We need to show this kind of love with the people around us. You just drive around. Drive around the grocery stores. Go to the gas pump, gas up. People don't look very happy right now. Let's be the people that can just inject some joy into people's lives. Let's share and show Christ's love. Not by being over the top, but just by being baseline of just smiling and just saying hello. It's amazing. Just even first hour, I had a conversation with someone who was newer, and I was just smiling and saying hello to them. Like, I needed that hello today. I'm like, great reminder. Some people just need a hello and a smile. And then they're going to wonder, why do you smile? Why are you smiling? Why are you smiling at the gas station? Why are you smiling while you're buying groceries that are overpriced? Why are you smiling when you're going through a heart? It's because you got the joy of the Lord. We've got the joy of the Lord. We need to be people that are joyful. All right, number three. Y'all still with me? All right, number three. Someone asked me, they're like, why do you say y'all? I said, well, before living in Michigan, lived here for 9 years, I was living in the South. So it's just, I'm married to a Southerner, and so the y'all just comes out sometimes. You all, yins, I don't know. Okay, so here we go. Number three, don't get sloppy with the sacred. Don't get sloppy with the sacred. Be devoted to God. If you get sloppy when you're driving, you're going to get an accident. If you get sloppy with your schoolwork, you probably won't do well in school. If you get sloppy with cooking, you might have a fire. If your little preschoolers get sloppy with the cutting, they might chop a finger off. I'm just saying it. If you get sloppy, it's going to set you back. I'm here to tell you on assignment, let's not get sloppy with the sacred. Let's be people that are dedicated and devoted to God. Sometimes when we take time off from God, we put God in the kind of the back seat. Sometimes when we have breaks or vacations, we take some steps back in our faith. And those steps back just remind us that we got to keep moving forward. We move forward by being devoted to God. You know, it's hard to stay grounded in God's word when we're not devoted to God daily. It's hard to stay grounded. It's hard to read God's word when we don't want to really spend much time with him. It's interesting. I've got a nine-year-old daughter. Her name's Harper. And any parents in the room that have 10-year-olds or younger, 10 and younger, Thank you. This is for me. Just raising your hand. I feel affirmed this morning and I hear heard. Thank you. Amazing. Yes. You can keep them up if you want. I'm joking. I have a 9-year-old daughter and her name's Harper. She asks the best questions. So does my 3-year-old. They ask great questions. I feel like I should write these questions down. You could probably do like theology of a 3-year-old. They ask questions like, where did that come from, right? My daughter is very bold and she will talk to just about anyone. And sometimes she'll ask the question, what's your favorite Bible verse? What's your favorite Bible verse? Do you have a favorite Bible verse? What's your favorite? A few weeks ago, we were driving in the car to church and we get up early. As a pastor, you just get up early for church. And my daughter gets up early too, because she loves it. And she loves the car time with dad. So we're driving to church and she says, Dad, I got a question. I said, okay, Harper. I said, what's your question? She goes, Dad, you talk a lot about your favorite Bible verses. I was like, yep, I do. I got a lot of favorite Bible verses. She says, what's your least favorite Bible verse? I'm like, good Lord. I'm like, what, Harper, did you say what's my favorite? She goes, no, Daddy. I said, what's your least favorite? I said, my least favorite Bible verse? I love the whole Bible. She goes, yeah, Dad, but you got to have at least one least favorite. I said, so I just sat there, you know, holding my wheel, looking outside. I'm like, all right, Lord. And literally before I could even just think or pray or respond, I just got this moment where it just came to me. I said, Harper, I've got it. I've got my least favorite Bible verse. She goes, okay, Daddy, what is it? I said, it's from John chapter 15. So Jesus told his people, I am the vine, you are the, and my daughter was like, I don't know, just tell it to me, Dad. I said, okay. I am, it's like she's telling me not to preach. She's like, stop preaching, just tell me the truth. I am the vine, Jesus says. You are the branches. And then I said, apart from me, she goes, I know that, Dad. You can do what? Nothing. Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. She goes, Dad, why is that your least favorite Bible verse? I said, Harper, when you grow older, you'll probably have a car, you'll probably have a home, you'll probably have a cell phone, and you'll have a lot of just great things in life. And as you get older, unfortunately, even as a Christian, you think you need God always, but sometimes your actions don't show it. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And she's like, Dad, that's now my least favorite one too. I said, do you have a least favorite Bible verse? She's like, no, Dad, that's mine now. I said, you can't have that. That's mine. You got to find your own. Maybe I'm here this morning, church, to remind us that apart from God, we can do nothing. Our marriages won't work out. Relationships won't work out. This church won't work out. Apart from God, we can do nothing. We have to be people that are devoted to God. How do we become devoted to God? Not get sloppy with the sacred. Not get sloppy with the sacred. Is it critical for us to make sure that we're spending time with God in Bible reading and in prayer? We got to lean in even more this season. We got to build the well of spiritual fortitude this season. We got to be people that are committed to seeking after God. To not get sloppy with the sacred means that we're just spending time with God. You know, I love when the disciples asked Jesus, how do you pray? How do you pray? And he said, our Father in heaven. What a reminder and a fresh just reminder for us this morning that Jesus said it, our Father. We've got a Father. It didn't say our King or our Supreme Lord or the universe or the God of the universe. Our Father. You have a Father that loves you so much. He wants to walk with you. He wants to encourage you. He wants you to spend time learning more about him so that you can have a life of meaning and purpose and hope. Church family, we have to make sure that we are remaining focused on what God has for us. We gotta remain focused on what God has in store for us. And we do that by not getting sloppy with the sacred. Turn with me to Psalm 19. I love Psalm 19. Psalm 19 is written by David, who was like the great, 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 I'm missing some greats, grandfather of Jesus. So there's a direct lineage from King David to Jesus. So we're going like back in time in God's word from Psalm 19. And Psalm 19 is where we're going to be for just the remainder of our time. Just got a few minutes left. And I would encourage you here this morning, if you want some homework, I like homework, not hard homework, just gentle homework, just read Psalm 19. Read Psalm 19 this week. Just let Psalm 19 just marinate in your life this week. Read it with your kids. Talk about it. Read Psalm 19. It's simple. Simple passage that holds a lot of truth. We're going to read a few verses from Psalm 19 so I don't give it all away. So Psalm 19 verse 12 is where we're going to just spend a moment. Psalm 19 says this in verse 12. And David made it very clear in Psalm 19. of what it means to search and confess. Search and confess is what it says. But who can discern their own errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgression. We need to guard our hearts by not getting sloppy with the sacred. We have to be people that are saying, God, can you just search me? There's probably things that I'm doing, Lord, that I don't even think are sinful, but maybe they are. Like, there's a lot going on. God, I need you to help me with my pride. I need you to help me with my sin. I need you to help me with my marriage. God, search me. I confess the things in my life because I want to walk closely with you, my Father. David did a great job of just teeing that up for us this morning, of showing us what that looks like. And I believe if we guard our hearts, it will help us to walk closer with him. Last point I want to share, and then we're going to sing a song to close, is this point. And it's actually the title of our message today. Get positioned for purpose. Get positioned for purpose. We need to be watchful and pray. So what does that look like? What does that look like for us to be positioned for purpose? You know, Psalm 19, verse 14 says this, may these words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Just look at this verse for a moment. This verse is just a reminder that we need to make sure that we are daily. Maybe it's the first part of every day. Maybe it's throughout the day in big decisions where we're saying, God, the things that come out of my mouth and the things that are inside my heart, God, may they be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. To be positioned for purpose means that we recognize that we're not the rock, we're not the Lord, and we're not the redeemer. There's only one. And that God loves us so much. He cares so deeply about us. You know, there's a psalm, Psalm 119. Don't worry, we're not going to read Psalm 119. It would take us hours. And this guy, we would get lost after a little bit. Psalm 119, verse 112. I've read Psalm 119 numerous times, but Psalm 119, verse 112 is a passage that I want to share with you guys as we finish our time together today. And I just encourage you that if you have a Bible, if you don't have a Bible, we've got Bibles here at Overflow. If you have a Bible, I encourage you to read it. I would encourage you, even with this verse that's on the screen behind me, that we'll stop looking for a voice or a good word and we'll start looking for a verse. Start looking for a verse that can guide us and direct us. We got to be positioned for purpose with God's word. And so this is what it says in Psalm 119, verse 112. This is what it says. It's on the screen. I incline my heart to perform your statutes forever to the end. I incline my heart to perform your statutes forever to the end. If you work out, you know that there is a flat bench, there is a decline bench, and there's what? There's an incline bench. Most of y'all sleep laying flat, right? Maybe y'all sleeping up, y'all are next level. But if you sleep flat, when you get out of bed in the morning, you are inclining yourself. When you get out of the car, you're inclining yourself. I love how God's word just helps remind us that sometimes in our lives, we're at like a flat line, we're at flat or we're in decline. This is a reminder for us today. We've got to incline ourselves towards God. We have to position ourselves towards God so that we can perform God's statutes forever to the end. God wants us to position our hearts towards him, church family. We only have to open our Bible to know what God's will is for our life. Then we have to spend time reading it and studying it so it can transform our hearts and our minds. The decisions we make, church family, determine the direction we're going to take. The decisions we make today determine the direction we're going to take tomorrow. Can you just stand with me if you're able to, church family, across the room? We're going to sing one more song, but I want to pray for us. And as you stand, I just want to remind us, let's make the decision today to not do it alone. Let's make the decision today to choose joy. Let's jump back to joy today. Let's make the decision to trust God, to worship God. Let's not take the next 3 weeks or 3 months off from God. It might send us back three seasons. Let's be devoted to God. Let's get positioned, church family, for purpose. Let's lean in even more this season. Let's build a well spiritually in our personal lives, in our marriages, in our families that we can draw from in this next season. Let's be a church family. Overflow. Let's be a church family that's committed to serving God and to following God, our Father. God, we just want to say thank you for it today. Thank you, Lord, for loving us so much. Thank you, God, that you hear us. Lord, thank you that you are with us. Thank you, God, that you're the only undefeated one. Thank you, God, that we can put our faith in you, our trust in you, our hope in you. Lord, we thank you that your word helps to guide us and give us direction. Lord, as a church family, we're committed to following you and serving you. God, I pray for the person in the room this morning that doesn't know you yet, hasn't made the decision to serve you and follow you. They don't know what it means to build a well because they don't know that you're the great one that builds the well in our lives, that loves us so much. So God, I just pray for that person, Lord, that they won't even leave here today without talking to someone about what it means to serve you and trust you, God. Put that on their hearts today. God, I pray for the marriage in the room that's going through a hard time. Lord, I pray that you will help bring clarity, bring peace, bring comfort to that marriage. God, I pray for the man in the room this morning who's going through physical issues in pain. God, I pray you just release that pain, heal that person, give them strength to choose you another day. God, I pray for the people in the room this morning that are dealing with the anxieties of life. God, you told us that we would go through hard times. God, I pray that the anxieties won't weigh them down any longer, Lord, that you will set them free, that they can be positioned for purpose. God, that that person in the room that is dealing with so much anxious thoughts and stress, God, Lord, you can help them today to jump back to joy. God, remind them of how much you love them. God, thank you for that truth this morning, God, that you love us so much that you sent your son to this world, your only son, to die on a cross for our sins and then to rise 3 days later so that we could have eternity with you, God. That's the message that we want to hold on to. We want to be positioned for that message today, God, a message that brings us joy, that brings us purpose. God, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for loving us, God. Thank you for being with us. Lord, you are the rock. You are the Redeemer, and you are the Savior. In Jesus' name.